Check me out. Look, I know perfect time, it feels like I'm too late. And I know I'm still great in spite of my mistakes. You know it's authentic every rhyme I say.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Perfect Time in Multisport. So I got my guy Ryzen here. As you all were listening to the last episode, you know that we talked with Craig about my experience here at Darden, and we want to continue that going. Again, as I mentioned in the last conversation, it's wild that this 2 years is coming to an end, and I want to make sure I'm capturing all the stories and all the memories as I can, as much as possible. But getting away from the executive format that we talked about in the last episode, I want to share some stories from people from the residential program. So again, got my guy here, Rising. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Like I was saying, we here at the end. How are you feeling about, you know, just being here at the end of this program?
It's a myriad of feelings, you know. One, I'm sure there's a feeling of bittersweetness that's going to come up.
Yeah.
Because while it's exciting to be done, especially coming into this last quarter here, the course load is much lower. So this period is going to just be a period of like enjoyment, which is going to make it much harder to leave. And return into the workforce. There's also like a feeling of, I want to call it, for lack of a better word, anxiety, just because there's so much uncertainty about what's coming next. There's so much uncertainty in like the job market, just the new position, etc. So there's also that feeling of where everybody will be in a few months, what life is going to look like, how different it's going to be, and just not knowing what to expect. But overall, it's really all good things, and there's excitement floating around.
I love that. I mean, thinking about that anxiety is definitely something I deal with, so I'm right there with you. And definitely excited to hear and just understand like how you've been using athletics as a resource to kind of navigate through those times of anxiety, those anxious moments or just stress that may come with all that's to come. But we'll get into that for sure. But yeah, just love to, who are you? I know we were just talking a little bit. I know we've had an opportunity to chat about, you know, your background, how'd you get to Darton, but let's just start with that. Let's start with the basics. Who are you? Where are you from?
So I was born in Nigeria. Okay. And my whole family came here in about 03. And then we living in the Bronx ever since. I went to undergrad in upstate New York, went to a small engineering school called RPI, Rensselaer.
Okay.
I did electrical engineering. Then I moved to Texas.
Oh, wow.
Where I was working for Dell in Austin. It was cool. I didn't really know anybody, so I was just in Texas by myself trying to figure it out. And then I, after working for a couple of years, I made my way up here to Virginia, where I'm at Darden doing the business school there.
So I'm curious, I'm going to take a quick step back because I know just that journey of, you know, coming from a different country into America is definitely a difficult one. It can be a very difficult one. And you mentioned we all. So I'm curious, who is that we all that you moved from Nigeria with here to New York?
Yeah, so both my parents.
Okay.
And my mom, my dad, and then my two siblings. I'm a middle child, so I have an older sister and a younger brother. So the five of us came together.
Okay. And how old were you during that transition?
Seven.
You were seven? Nice, nice, nice.
7'6" Yeah.
Okay. So how, like, coming to a completely new city, New York of all things, which is just a melting pot of all different cultures, all different communities. Like, how did you find yourself integrating into that space? Like, what was that thing that helped you?
I mean, it was tough, but it's interesting because I don't think, well, I'm sure that there are a lot of places we could have ended up in the U.S. that probably would have worked out, but I'm happy that we ended up in New York, because New York has its own identity and its own, and there's in a lot of ways New York City is very similar to Lagos in Nigeria, so I think it kind of helped with that transition, but there was still a lot of difference in terms of just one, weather, temperature, just cultural norms and just behavioral norms. So it was a culture shock for a good portion of time, but you know, especially when you're young, it's easier to adjust because you're in somewhere like school where you're around so many kids, and you can just see what they're doing and understand what's the norm, and moving through life like that, trying to observe and pick up what you can while still understanding what's for you and what's not for you.
Makes sense. So for me, although I absolutely definitely did not have the same experience, but being an only child, having to just, you know, navigate through very unfamiliar spaces all the time, one thing that was an extremely great resource for me has always been athletics. So understanding that you two are an athlete, I'm curious, like, how did athletics show up for you as a child? Like, what was your entry to athletics? Let's go with that.
Oh, man, athletics has been all over my life, actually. So my dad used to be a boxer.
Okay.
Never professionally, because I think around college he got a rib injury that took him out, and he just decided that it was too dangerous for him. My mom used to play soccer, at least up until like the college level in Nigeria, and we just grew up always watching soccer because it's like the biggest sport in Nigeria. Well, at least it was at the time. And it was like a global sport, so we just enjoy it, watch it whenever we can. And then coming to the U.S., we got very familiar with basketball at a young age. I came in 2003, and like the 2003 draft class was like the first basketball I saw. So like my introduction to basketball was LeBron, D-Wade, Carmelo, that class.
That was a great class, I will say.
It was a great class. And so I come in and I watch a couple of games, and boom, LeBron's my favorite player because that's what I started with, and he happens to be a great player.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, as you're young, you get to try different things. But what really took it for me was in high school, I started running track.
Okay.
Early high school, I wanted to play soccer. I actually made the team, but my parents just felt like it was too much of a time commitment at that point and wanted me to focus on school, so I dropped it. And then later on, this was about like freshman year of high school, and then later sophomore year, I joined track. And at least in the Northeast, we have an indoor season, outdoor season, because of the weather. So I joined like late in the indoor season of my sophomore year. And that just, I think joining the track team changed my life a lot.
Thank you. So yeah. Real quick, because one, I'm curious, like what events did you do? And then two, I'm curious, I know you're about to get into it, like when you say it changed your life, what talk us through that. What does that mean for you?
Yeah, kind of as it goes in reverse, just because the change in my life piece was more so, it was the first instance of having a community, especially because high school was very cliquey. So I had my small group of friends, my two or three friends, but then you join a team, and even though everybody's not friends, you have a much larger group of acquaintances at once. And you kind of fall into this community where everybody is reliant on each other. And even though track is an individual sport, because of the relays and the way points are counted, it does become a team sport. That being said, much of the races I did were sort of what we would call long distance sprints or the mid distance events. So anything ranging from 300 to 800.
Okay.
But I would mostly do 400 and 800 meter races. But there was the occasional 300. There was the occasional 600. Just because those weren't at every meet. But when they were, I'd run them. You know, you come into track, and most people, especially in inner cities when you're around a lot of Caribbeans, Africans, most people want to do the short distance sprints because those are at least at the time, those were historically like the more entertaining races.
Mm-hmm.
The 50 meter, the 100 meter, 200 meter. And then it was like the 400 was actually the star of the event because you pull from all sides of the track. You pull from the short distance runners to the long distance runners, and it becomes this. And while while it sounds like it becomes this catch-all event, it mm-hmm. actually becomes this very selective event where you need everything to run.
Yeah.
And it just became a lot of the track experience was centered around who could be the best 200 meter and 400 meter runner.
Got it. So what I'm curious about, and you mentioned a little bit about like the building that community piece, right? But understanding how anybody that's an athlete, right? We can understand how much we learn in athletics is able to trickle over into different aspects of our life, right? So I'm curious for you, especially as a teenager, like what were some lessons that you learned at such an early age, whether it's through community building, you know, staying on structure. I'm not going to give you any more examples because I kind of built it up enough, yeah. But like, what are some of those lessons that you learned, especially so early as an athlete that applied in your life?
I probably run out of endless lessons I learned from track, but there's some very, very important ones that I carry with me. One is sticking to a plan. Because, you know, as a young teenage boy, I pity or I don't envy coaches, you know? coaches have a set job, a structure, and a plan for things. And it's hard to really get young teenage boys to listen all the time. And sometimes people know, like, it's you have to listen to experience. You know, there would be often times where for a long time, it took me a long time to figure out that the 800 meter was my race, because everybody wants to be a sprinter. Everybody wants to do all of the glory and glamour events. Everybody wants to run the 400, 200. And I was decently good, you know, there was a lot of time wasted when my coach was telling me, hey, you should go do the 800. And a lot of the reason why is because training for the 800 is is like training for the 400, but more on the distance side. Mm-hmm. When you train for the 400, you have to do a lot of long distance running to get your endurance high, and then you have to do a lot of sprinting to get your speed, because it's a long distance speed sprint, so you need to be able to run as fast as you can for as long as you can and keep your breath control. The 800, you double it, and you kind of, in a way, while you're still moving very fast, you sacrifice some speed for some endurance, because going around that track twice just takes so much more out of you. But that being said, it means you have to train more like a long distance runner. And nobody wants to hear that as a teenager. You're like, all right, now I have to go run a bunch of miles as training. Or even we have to do some of the runs around the reservoir by our school. So we would, and the reservoir was about 3-4 miles. Mm-hmm. And so that would mean like my practice day started by doing that after warming up. And not too many people ran those events. So it would be, it was like three guys. So me and two others. And then you just go off and go start running a couple miles while the rest of the team is on the track training. And let's say somebody doesn't come that day, or people start early or late. Now you're just running around by yourself, and it starts feeling very lonely. So nobody wants to do that. But eventually, when I embraced it, that's where I was getting a lot of my wins. You know, that's where I started. Okay, I'm coming first a lot more often, because I stopped trying to, you know, go after what I thought was the shiny stuff, and started doing, hey, this is what my skill set fits more, and I'm listening to my coach. I'm training for this that, you know, is attuned to me more, and here I'm seeing results. You know, so trying to, one, following a plan and not always thinking you're right. You know, I think it's very important to recognize when you might not know best. But I think the biggest thing that I take away with me all the time is, and it's very funny because it's like it comes in the form of a track analogy, is you have to run your own race. I've always been the youngest, just because of the way the Nigerian education system works. When I came in, we had to do placement exams, and I placed better than the grade for my age.
Right.
You know? So, and then even after that, they held me back. My sister and I, they held us back a year because they didn't want us to be too young going through school. So I graduated undergrad at 20. But had they not held us back, I would have graduated undergrad at 19.
Jesus Christ. When did you graduate high school then?
So, when did I graduate high school? I think at 15? Either 15 or 16. So it's like, but that's important, because that means going through high school, while some of my peers are 18, 19, 20, right, and their bodies are this much more developed, I'm at, you know, 13, 14, 15, just hitting puberty, but competing in the same breath. I probably don't have the same level of endurance. My legs don't have as much strength. My body's overall weaker.
Yeah.
And but you know, when you're young, you don't think about that. The only time you think about that is when you're making an excuse for why you didn't win. Right. But when you're training and you're running and stuff, you're not thinking about that. You're thinking, oh, these guys are just so much better than me. They must work harder than me, etc. But it wasn't until like you kind of take a step back and realize, hey, you have to run your own race. You know, everybody isn't starting at the same standpoint. Everybody has different things going on. And these things mean different things to different people. You know, there were some people that were running as a means to get to school.
Wow.
To get to college. You know, so it's like they're, especially running, doing track in a place like New York City that's filled with so much that like we won't get into here, but there were some high schools that were akin to rehabilitation centers. So it's like you would go on a track and you would see me, a very small and skinny 14-year-old boy, standing next to a guy that looks like he just did 5'10".
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But who's also a high schooler. Like, he's just closer to 20 than he is to 14 and probably had a rougher upbringing. But, you know, so we're running for different things. And one of the guys I used to run against, he went on to become like an Olympic. I think he won silver at the last Olympics.
Oh, wow.
And just, you know, stuff like that. And they, so, but you start looking at things with a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, my education was always my focus. So I was never looking at track as, oh, if I don't get this track scholarship, I'm not going to school. That was never my mindset. I would have liked it just because part of it would have been more validation in the sport that I'm doing. I always knew, hey, if I don't make anything out of this, mm-hmm. my goal is to be an engineer at the time. So, you know, you start understanding that in at different points in life, you have to run your own race. You know, some people aren't, you're not supposed to be the best at everything. You're not supposed to be doing the same thing as everybody else. And sometimes when people are doing things, it's because they're working for something else, or they're working with something else, you know? So it's, you have to just stay focused on you and what you're doing and what you want to do. So that's something I carry me all the time, because it gets easy, bringing it back to business school, mm-hmm. it gets easy to get caught up in a lot of these comparison games, and it gets easy to fall into the imposter syndrome mindset, you know? Especially you come in with a bunch of these former bankers, former accountants, et cetera, and you're in these difficult courses where people seem to know everything and you're speaking a foreign language.
Yeah,
so but you have to realize that this is what they've been doing for the past 5, 6, 7 years. And if we had all, in my case, if we had a class on anything engineering related, mechanics, fluid dynamics, right, I would be the one leading those case discussions. They'd be the one looking at it like it's rocket science.
Right.
So it's just about, it's a matter of perspective and understanding where you're going. I also don't need to be the best financial modeler in the school. That has no impact on my job. You know, it'll probably be helpful at some points, but I'm not going into the investment banking world. So things like that are important to keep in mind when you fall into some situations where you start doubting yourself, doubting your abilities, and just doubting your outcome.
Yeah. So, absolutely agree with that. And so another thing I was thinking about as you were talking, not only running your own race, right, but like running your race at your own pace though. So especially having to do an 800, I can imagine you have to be really, really mindful with how you're pacing yourself. Another thing that that stuck out to me is your relationship with the leaders in your life, especially in high school, your coaches. So understanding that you serve in a leadership position, which I would love for you to talk a little bit about, like how did your coaches help prepare you to be a better leader that you are today?
Yeah, thank you. So in terms of pacing, I think that's a very great point, because that's one of the hardest parts about the 800 is you start running and then you start running. Everybody starts off, you run your own race.
Mm-hmm.
They get to a point where there are people moving all around you at all times. And you can get caught up in running somebody else's race because you're not controlling your pace. You know, somebody's moving, then, oh, I can't let them pass me. So then you start running their race instead of yours. And it's very important to keep in mind your own pace,
mm-hmm.
that everybody's moving at a different time. you're all going to get to the finish line, and it's all, and you know, you can, the trick is to control your pace for as long as you can, and there's going to come a point, either last 50 meters, 60, where you put everything else you have, and that's where you can pick your speed up, because nobody's going to separate themselves so far enough, so early in the race, unless they're amazing and going to win out the gate, or they're going to blow their energy.
That's in life, too.
It's kind of just understanding where you are and just, you know, trying not to get caught up in what others are doing.
Absolutely.
In the sense of the leadership, I currently serving as the president of our Black Business Student Association at Darden, and my coaches have been a very important part of my leadership style. I'm not the, and I think part of it plays into my personality, I'm not the, hey, look, everybody, I'm president guy. I'm not always in the front. Mm-hmm. I'm not always shouting it from the rooftop, trying to do, there's nothing wrong with those kind of people. That's just not my personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody has strengths that they play with. And when I was running track, being one of the few guys that did the 800, I can, this might be revisionist history, but I think I can say that I was the best 800 runner on our team. Although it was like a small pool to pick from still, but then it became, I started leading that small group of people. And then whenever the 400 runners had to come train endurance, they'll hop into our group. Whenever the mile runners had to come train speed, they would hop into our group. But I'd be the one leading them. And I never had any experience leading anything. But my coach was very adamant about, you know, servant leadership in the sense of people won't follow you if they don't think that you're doing the work. Mm. You know, like they will, you can bark orders at people, and ask people for things, and nobody's going to do anything if they don't think, A, you're doing the work, and B, if they don't believe in you. You know, you have to have a vision that you believe in strongly, that it projects onto other people, and they have to see you working for that vision. Yeah. So I think that's what's gone with me a lot, and it has its downsides, because there are times where, you know, I have control issues and I'm like, all right, I have to start doing this, then I'll do this, then I'll do that. And, you know, so I take the doing a little too far sometimes, but I think it is important, because, you know, you want people to look at you and never say, oh, our president's lazy, or our president doesn't do anything, because that's gonna go back on them, and they'll just say, hey, why do I have to do any work if our president's not gonna do it, you know? So I'm very big on showing people that I'm always ready to do whatever it is that he's doing, because it inspires people to do as well. And
I love that.
And yeah.
So one thing that we always love to make sure we talk about here is thinking through how people are using like forms of athletics to navigate through these really difficult times. So understanding, you know, how athletics and running track in high school has helped you just continue to build that community. I'm curious, whether it's during your time at Darden or just in general, like how has there been a time in your life where you had to like navigate through something? In a moment, it felt like it made no sense. But as you went through that, you're like, damn, it was a really perfect time for me to be in that space. And I use athletics as a resource. So I'm curious, has there been a time in your life where you can like talk a little bit about you were going through a difficult time and you use athletics as a resource to navigate through that?
Yeah, there are multiple. think there's, I think you use Darden as a good example. Your first year core experience with Darden is such a deep grind, mm-hmm. for lack of it. Like, you're just busy, you know, between recruiting and doing the work, etc. You're busy all the time. For someone like me that didn't have like financial background, you kind of feel like you're drowning with all the work you're doing. You're not really understanding stuff. You'll never get it. And you get into this rut sometimes where it feels like nothing's making sense, you know? And then I think it's kind of funny that for business in general, life saves some of like your hardest moments for when you can't really afford to have it happen, you know? So like, I know a lot of students that go through a lot of hardship outside of school,
right,
at the same time that school is like beating down on them. And it just becomes like this test of strength and willpower that for me, I was drawing on some of my athletic background for it, because there's a feeling that you don't forget of running like out of breath. When like your air is probably, you're at 720 meters and there's 80 to go, and you have no more wind in your like lungs, your legs are on fire, and you're just moving on autopilot, but you're on that home stretch and you know you have to start sprinting. And the funny part is, so we used to record a lot of our meets, so then you start watching yourself on that last stretch where you're pushing with everything in your body, and sometimes you're not going any faster than you were like 30 seconds ago. Like, yeah. You are breathing as hard, you are running at the height, but then you're watching it back on the video and you're not moving any faster. People are yelling at you to move, to sprint, and you think you're doing it, yeah. And you're just going, you know? And I think sometimes life is like that, where it's like, to the outside world, you're just moving, you know, one day at a time. But to you, you're, every day is a battle. And the thing is that you just have to keep showing up. You have to keep showing up. You have to just keep doing it. At least for me, I'm a guy that's big on structure. You know, it might be like borderline OCD. I'm like, I can't, if I come back from a trip at 1 a.m., I have to unpack everything, or I just can't go to sleep. You know, I'm big on structure, but I think part of that has like accumulated through my life. So now I don't run anymore, but I go to the gym. Gosh. So, you know, like bodybuilding, powerlifting, that's my thing now. So, but that I have to go to the gym. You know, when my days are like excruciatingly long, I'm super tired. Maybe if it's like a super tired day, I'll miss that day. But the next day I have to go, and I have to do twice as hard. I have to go to the gym, because that structure keeps me balanced. You know, like, absolutely. when I'm in the gym, when I'm moving weights, when I'm doing something, I'm controlling everything that's going on. You know, the weights aren't moving me. I'm moving the weight. I'm in a space where, okay, I can isolate myself and just do one thing. Then I go back to reality. And I think just having that area of separation is very important to me, because when you're going through those days where you're just like, all right, everything sucks, I'm waking up to go do it again, you start getting into this like this feeling, this cycle of, wow, this is just tough, it sucks. And being able to remove yourself every once in a while and realign and just say, okay, hold on. I have a goal that I'm working towards. Things might not be looking the way they need to right now. There's a problem over here. I'm not getting it here. But let me do this one thing here correct. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go and try to do this other thing here correctly. And you just try to, you try to take little steps to realign yourself, and you just put one foot in front of the other. So I think that's been very helpful to me, just like, especially going through like corn and understanding that, you know, just move one foot in front of the other, eventually you'll get something.
I feel like anybody starting at any program, especially here at Darden, they need to like take that clip out right there and just replay that to themselves over and over. I'm like, I feel, and let me say, I feel like I needed that reminder. So thank you for sharing that. I know that would be a great resource for people as they are starting here, their journey at Darden. But, thinking of that start, as we're coming to an end, I am curious to the end of our program. I am curious, like, what is something you're excited about? What is something you want to make sure you do before, you know, May comes? And yeah, let's just start with that. What are you excited about? What are you looking forward to as we wrap up the program?
I'm looking forward to just the feeling of newness, you know, that period where I moved from New York to Texas, I knew nobody, and I was just in a new place figuring it out. It's kind of what I'm gonna be going into now, and just like, I don't know, a lot more people, just because, you know, business school and school in general just opens you up to knowing so many more people. So I think now it'll kind of be, it's harder to go into a bigger city and not know anybody. Mm-hmm. But there is even the feeling of newness in a job. You know, I'm going into consulting that I have no idea. You know, I'm a few months out and still don't know what consulting is. But we'll figure it out as we go along. But just the ability to put myself in a new environment and, you know, make the best of it. Try to see where I can become, what I can do in that area, and see what's new. You know, it's in a way, it's a reinvention. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of my classmates and I, and we're all going, some people are returning to industries that they've been in, but with new skills and new understanding. So nobody's going out the same way they came in.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited to see how that manifests itself, what I like to call the real world.
I'm curious, because we have, you know, people that are listening from all over. Where are you going to be going as far as location wise?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be going to the DC area.
Okay. And you say we're going into consulting. Are you cool yeah. sharing with who?
Yeah, I'll be joining Deloitte.
Okay. All right. So I know we have a lot of people that, you know, definitely are in the DC area. I'm sure there are some folks that are also at Deloitte. So if you are listening to this, make sure you tap in. We'll make sure we share some contact information in the show notes. So one thing I am definitely excited about as we come to an end of the program is, you know, we have both the virtual event where we're trying to bring all the cohorts together and just connect with people to build those relationships. So if you're listening, you're here at Darden, that is happening March 24th. And then for Black Alumni Week, we have a few things going on. Want to make sure, can you share a little bit about, you know, what you all have going on for that, for Black Alumni Weekend for Darden?
Yeah, I mean, at the university, Black Alumni Week's a huge thing. So there are a lot of events that you can register for and just come back and enjoy across the university itself. Mm-hmm. I think for Darden, we're trying to put together a reception for all cohorts so we can do some more of that mix and mingling across generations and try to get closer with each other. So hopefully as many people as possible can make it.
I love it. And definitely, so with the, gosh, thinking about the golf outing, I'm excited. Do you play golf?
Not at all. It was one of the things that I wanted to do when I got to business school. I joined a golf club.
You still got time.
I'm going to get after it. Next quarter is much less school, much more business, and the business is having fun. So we're going to try to learn it and see where it goes.
I love it. So, well, hopefully, you know, we see you out there. Gosh, I forgot the date. What is that? April 18th? And then that Saturday, April 20th, we have the cookout. So if you're in the Darden network, make sure you tap in with us so you can join that. And then for Darden events, we're wrapping up with the panel discussion. So it'll be some really, really phenomenal speakers for that on the 22nd. So, you know, make sure you sign up for that if you're listening in. But as we wrap up with the episode, I do want to ask a few rapid fire questions, if that's cool.
Let's do it.
All right. So being an athlete, being a track star that you are, I'm curious, what has been like your favorite race? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to forget your favorite race.
Touche.
My favorite race was, there was this one meet indoor where, indoor 800 is very difficult to do because while you still have the six lane, well, you have six lanes close to eight in the outdoor track. And then they put so many people together just because so many people run it. And there was this one meet where as soon as the gun went off, everybody tries to break out of like the starting huddle. Mm-hmm. And they knocked me down. And like a couple people stepped on my hands and ankles. So then it was like, all right, they had to. But I remember like just at that moment, I was so angry. I just got like knocked down and stepped on. I was so angry. So then when they restarted the race, we break out, and that was just, I don't even know if it was my best race that I ran,
mm-hmm.
It was my angriest race for sure. And I ended up winning that race, but I was just there and anger carried me the whole way through. I didn't think about tiredness. I didn't feel my legs or anything. I was just filled with rage, and I just ran around the track until I was done, and I ended up winning. But I just remember that so much just because there's just some times where like emotion overwhelms you and you just forget everything else, you know, and you forget how tired you are, you forget how much things hurt, and you're just going. I'll never forget that.
I love that. So that was your angriest race. Do you remember like your ugliest finish? I know you say y'all record it. Like, do you have a picture? You're like, damn, we need to like delete that from the archives forever.
there's a bunch. I don't know. I don't know where I can find them. Probably somewhere like get back on Facebook. But there's some very ugly finishes, especially because by the end of the finish line, your face is just, get me out of this. And I was like, oh my god, that's a face only a mom can love, you know.
you gotta pull that out for us, so
I'm gonna go looking, man,
when we do this announcement. We have to see that. So you mentioned, you know, now you do a lot of the strength workouts. Like, what's your favorite workout that you're doing, whether it's squats, whether it's bench press, what's your favorite?
My favorite functionally just used to be deadlift. I actually don't deadlift as much anymore. I have like a lordosis, so I'm very careful with it, and I'm gonna get back into it just to strengthen my back. But I mean, currently it's squatting.
Okay.
I'm also like not the tallest guy, so my full range of motion is different from somebody else's full range of motion, which helps me. But I don't know, it's much easier for me to pack a bunch of weight on it and just go down and up than to do anything else. It just feels, I kind of get into his zone sometimes when I get under the bar.
I love that. I love that. And so, you know, the multi-sport language, while it does represent all forms of athletics, initially it started as a form of like the triathlon space. So swim, bike, run. So I'm not sure if you're a swimmer, not sure if you're a cyclist. Do know that you're a runner. So I am curious, if you had to kill one, kiss one, marry one, what would it be? Swim, bike, run. Kill one, kiss one, marry one.
Marrying running for sure. Let's see, kill one, kiss one, to swim and bike.
And because
I kiss swimming.
Okay, go ahead. My bad.
And I'd kill biking. I don't do either enough. I'm just learning how to swim. I took a couple classes last fall. Mm-hmm. But I think swimming is just, it's just beautiful. One, it's a life skill, and two, it's beautiful. I envy people who can go out in the ocean on like a hot day and just lay there and reflect. I feel like I want to learn how to swim amazingly, at least in the ocean, just for the ability to float and just look up at the sun and just think about life. I think there's a healing power in nature. Mm. And you know, and it's also why I don't really like treadmills. I prefer to run outside. I think just being able to touch the elements changes the way you experience the world. So that also might be why I say I kill cycling, just because, you know, at all points in cycling, there's something between you and Earth.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Well, if you do want to continue to like build your swim skills, I will make a plug for some DC clubs for, what is it? Grit USA. They're based over in DC. It's a triathlon community that, you know, very much a part of. DC Tri Club is a great one. District Triathlon. So you're going into a space that has a lot of really great resources. So make sure you tap in with those.
Yeah.
So last question that I want to ask is, here, you know, we everybody is perfect in their own way, right? Especially in forms of athletics. So I'm curious for you, though, like, how do you define the perfect athlete?
The perfect athlete?
The perfect athlete, yeah. How do you define the perfect athlete?
I think the perfect athlete is just, it's able to move in all spaces. Sometimes you see like these muscle bound guys, but they're gym strong and not functionally strong. So I think the perfect athlete, you might not be able to do every sport well, but you can, you're flexible enough to move through sports. So you see a lot of football players can shoot a basketball.
Right.
Or let's not. Is this the reverse? Well, a lot of quarterbacks can shoot a basketball, right? Because that hand-eye coordination translates. So that kind of thing. Or a lot of football players can run track because that the raw speed translates. So just the having the ability to move between sports functionally, I think that's a perfect athlete, in the sense that, because your body isn't restricted to the thing that you're training for. You know, you can move in all areas if you're limber enough, your survivability is high. Just like in the general world, you're probably good at rock climbing. You're probably good at rowing. Like you're probably good at doing a lot of these things, and you have there's like a sports intelligence that just comes with understanding your playing field. And I think that's big, like that kind of sports IQ, where it's like, okay, you can look at what you're doing now and understand how to get the goal. I might not, like, say I'm a soccer player, but now I'm playing basketball. I might not know how to dribble the best, might not know how to shoot the best, but I can look at the court and understand spacing. Mm-hmm. I can understand how to get the ball to the right shooter. I can understand how to beat defense just in terms of like passing and moving the ball and placement and that kind of thing. And I think a lot of it is about like, one, the ability to have your body prepared to move between sports, and two, the ability to have your mind prepared to understand how to get to your goal in whatever sport you're in. I think that's like the perfect athlete.
I love that. So as we wrap up, less of a question, more of a prompt to just leave open space for you. If there are any, you know, last words that you would like to share, would love to just create that space for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, I think if there's anything I'd like to say, it's just, you know, I'll just try to emphasize the importance of movement. I mean, I'm sure most of the people that listen to this podcast would be athletes or former athletes, but I do think it is still important to emphasize movement, especially in today's day and age that everything's becoming digital and technology. I think it's important to still move and get to know people in the physical.
Love that. Well, again, man, thank you for taking time to join, share a little bit about your journey. I know there's a lot more that folks can are maybe curious about. And with that, if people do want to connect with you, like, what is the best way they can reach you to continue this conversation?
Yeah, I mean, you can talk to me via LinkedIn, social media. I'm pretty much an open guy. So thank you for having me. I'll probably send you all of my, I guess, links.
Yeah.
To share. But yeah, I'm always available to chat, man.
All right. I love it. Well, again, thank you for joining. I'm gonna wrap this up. And yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Come back next time, y'all.